The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Coming at you with an evening podcast. See if we get a little wacky tonight. We tend to do that on the night pod. Sunday night show. Looking at a PPR mock draft, 12 teams, 3 wide receivers. How many wide receivers went in the first round? This was before the Tyreek Hill trade, by the way, but we'll lay it all out for you. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, and Jamie Eisenberg. And Jamie, how was your kids' sports weekend? How did you guys do?
It was great. My 7-year-old hit a walk-off double.
Ooh!
In the second game of doubleheader in extra innings. After he had just a miserable day, he was going into that at bat. He was 1-for-6 with 4 strikeouts.
Wow.
So he did not have a great day overall, but he ended it on a very, very high note. So it was fun.
That rocks. Like, that is great perseverance.
Yeah. Great feeling.
My 9-year-old, he had a rough day of baseball, but won his basketball games. Team still undefeated. He's been playing basketball now for 3 seasons, over 2 years. One was COVID shortened, but he has never lost a basketball game.
It's
pretty remarkable. I'm trying to jinx it, but team is undefeated this year. Last year, 2 ties, won a championship, and in the COVID shortened season, they didn't lose a game either. So
how many games
nice
did they play
for basketball?
How many
games in the COVID shortened season?
I think 5, maybe 4 or 5.
Okay,
so I think we were 10-2 in the 10-0-2. Excuse me. In the championship run, and now we are 6-0 in the current season.
Man.
I think Bill Self is trying to join the StreamYard. apparently he's got $20,000 with him for you, James.
Yes. All right, we're going to update you on our March Madness.
It was a great weekend
pool.
Of college basketball too.
Almost.
Truthfully, it was not a great weekend of college basketball. The games weren't so good, but the next weekend of college basketball will be incredible. Absolutely incredible, I would suspect. All right, so let's start with the Chiefs news here. Dave, they signed Ronald Jones to a 1-year deal. They signed MVS to a 3-year, $30 million deal. First of all, who's more overpaid, Christian Kirk or MVS?
Kirk.
Okay. Now, as we look at this draft, Clyde went in the 6th round, the second pick of the 6th round, 62nd overall. He went just ahead of Chase Edmonds, and I got Devin Singletary like 4 or 5 picks later. Then I was happy about that. But what do you think about 62nd overall for Clyde?
If you're asking me, I think that that's kind of surprisingly good value. I think he'd go around higher than that in most drafts. He'd be off the board by 60th overall because people are going to recognize, okay, might not be the guy that we thought he was when he was taken in the first round of the NFL draft, but he's in his 3rd year, should know the basics of the offense. I'd be a little bit worried about him splitting running downs work with Rojo and another running back playing on 3rd downs. We'll see what ends up happening. I feel like 60 seconds a little too late. You heard Jamie say steal. He's right. Right around 50th to 55th overall. That's where he went in our draft. That's where I'd expect him to go now.
What do you mean that's where he went in your draft?
In our draft.
But this is our draft.
Went that's where seconds. You're right. But I,
you got the math wrong.
50th to 55th overall is where I think he should go. You were right, Adam. We are getting a little loopy.
It's
our future draft. Yeah. People go in round 7.
Did you guys do a draft that I didn't know about, Jamie? So what do you think the split is? What does the Kansas City backfield look like to you?
Is Bill Self the coach? I think, you know, you look at, Dave said, if there's another guy added, you know, there's still a chance of I think, you know, kind of the thought process, maybe Jerick McKinnon comes back, you know, because he was, you know, very successful for him, probably be cheap, knows the system, can play sort of a dual role for them, as we saw. If it's that type of player, I'd be a little bit more concerned about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If it's a rookie that they, you know, invest in somewhat early, I'd be concerned about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If it's another, like, running downs guy, like another Ronald Jones type, then I would be very happy for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because there was some stuff coming out of the, you know, Chiefs media that the Tyreek Hill trade is good for him, because, you know, with what we saw from this Chiefs offense last year, that, you know, if they're going to, you know, sort of not necessarily worry about focusing throwing down the field, if teams are going to take that away, and, you know, MVS, we'll see, you know, what kind of role he has. That clearly assumption would be he's that type of player. And Mecole Hardman's that type of player, but they're not Tyreek Hill. And so, you know, if they're going to be a little bit more conservative in how they approach things, but still throw the ball, you know, a lot, that, you know, Kelce and somebody out of the backfield will benefit. Right now, I think it's CEH, you know, to me, by leaps and bounds over Ronald Jones.
In the Mahomes...
But I will ask Andy Reid that question myself tomorrow.
Oh, good. Yeah, you guys will be at the owners' meeting, so our schedule's a little funky this week. We have tonight, we're doing our first show Sunday night. We'll have no show on Monday. That'll be the Sunday night show, obviously. No show on Tuesday until 3 o'clock, I think. 3 o'clock on Tuesday. Usually we record at 10 a.m., so just a little bit later on Tuesday, and then I don't remember Thursday, but...
10 a.m. Thursday.
All right, that's what I thought. I thought you changed it, Shraggy.
There's the voice.
The best golfer of the company, Ben Schrager, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The very unhappy Pete Prisco.
Oh, yeah. Let's start it up. Shraggy B went golfing with Prisco, whooped him this weekend, right?
He didn't stand a chance.
There has not been a 50-catch running back in the Mahomes era. Well, since he became the starter anyway. I think Darrell Williams had 48 last year.
Still a free agent too.
Do you think we'll come back? He had 47 last year. Do you think we'll get a 50 catch running back on the Chiefs in 2022?
I mean, Darrell Williams doing that in a part-time role is pretty impressive. So,
yeah. So actually, I'll tell you, he had 30 of his 47 catches in six games without Clyde Edwards-Helaire. In that role.
I would say if Clyde Edwards-Helaire stays healthy, there will be a 50 catch running back for the Chiefs.
Okay.
And nobody else like Clyde Edwards-Helaire signs.
Could it be that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the 50 catch back? Now, we haven't really seen him as a pass catcher.
That's what he meant, right?
For Kansas City. Is that what you meant, Jamie? That Clyde would be the 50 catch guy?
I said that, yes. Dave's on a different planet.
Sunday night, baby. Sunday night. All right.
Oh, Sunday night.
Dave.
He did a good job catching the ball in college. Yeah. And we thought that he'd be able to.
Wasn't it 55 receptions at LSU?
Yes. Yes. Look at you guys. But I think that he, like, they didn't trust him, obviously, in his rookie year or his second year. So it would take some big shakes during the preseason for him to get that in his third year.
But what about Clyde, though? All right, what about MVS? Dave, give me 30 seconds on MVS so we can start breaking down this draft.
I'm not excited about him being there. He's not Tyreek Hill. He's not half of Tyreek Hill. Didn't even have 700 yards in any of his seasons in Green Bay. To me, he's a double-digit round dart throw in real drafts or imaginary drafts in my head.
Jamie, does it affect Mecole Hardman or Juju Smith-Schuster at all?
I don't think Juju, but I certainly think it affects Hardman. You know, they're going to be competing for that role. I would hope that Hardman has the inside track to win it. The contract doesn't necessarily help his case, but, you know, he's been the one that has stepped up when Tyreek Hill has been out, to whatever extent you want to say he stepped up when Tyreek Hill has been out. So it's his opportunity. You know, they certainly will use them both. I think all three receivers will be on the field a lot. And Juju's the one that has to really take the step forward. He's the one that has to sort of prove that he should be the focal point of the 150 plus targets that are vacated. You know, he's the one that needs to step into those opportunities. He's not going to do the same things that Tyreek Hill did, but he's got to step into those chances and hopefully he gets them. So I think Juju is a high-end number three receiver we're taking a chance on, assuming everything's right with him physically. Seems like that's the case. I would say Hardman is still the one I would look at second right now, but that will probably change if we get better reports on MVS come training camp. But they're both, you know, around 8-9 plus.
I had to move Juju up so much because I definitely think the potential is there for him to rack up 75 plus catches now, get a decent average And if he's going to be a short area target, then that'll come in handy in the red zone.
Okay.
Could see 7 touchdowns out of him.
Just going to fly through the notes here, and then we'll break down the draft. But Deshaun Watson, and by the way, we have a question here. This is important. The question was, will you post the draft results anywhere? Schrager just provided a link in the chat. But for those of you listening, the link is in the episode description. I will put a link. There's an article about it in the episode description, and you can follow along.
I think, you know, just we're going to do a lot of these clearly. Generally, either they're up the day that we are talking about them or within a day or two afterwards. So there's always an article that's associated with the draft.
Deshaun Watson could be placed on the commissioner's exempt list, according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. He was the 8th quarterback drafted in our draft. He went with the first pick of round 9, and that was to Dave. And the next pick, by the way, was Ronald Jones before he had a team. Rob Gronkowski is undecided about playing, according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. There is some trade interest in Devontae Parker, according to the Miami Herald. Carolina GM Scott Fitterer said that Sam Darnold is in the lead for the quarterback job. They also could bring Cam Newton back. What?
It's just so bad for Panthers fans.
What an offseason for them.
All this quarterback activities happened this offseason. They're staring at Sam Darnold again.
Well, a good chance they draft someone, but yeah. By the way, DJ Moore played 4 games with Cam Newton, starting and finishing. Now, in some of those games, Cam Newton was not playing all the snaps. You know, they had rotated in PJ Walker and whatnot, but Moore was pretty good. He scored 14.3 or more PPR fantasy points in 3 of 4 games. No more than 16 points in any game. He didn't have any huge games, but he did have a 103-yard game, an 84-yard game, so not bad. Denver is open to bringing Melvin Gordon back, and Giants CEO John Mara said the team is not actively shopping Saquon Barkley. Doesn't mean he won't get traded, but according to John Mara,
what that means is they haven't gotten an offer they like.
There you go. Let's give a congratulations to someone named Dalton Everhart, who is leading our March Madness pool in college basketball tournament that nobody needs to watch anymore because nobody cares because Miami lost. But Dalton, congratulations. You have 85 points. This is close. 85 points. Second place is Chris Warner, who has 84 points. And Dalton has Villanova, and Chris has Kansas. And they are playing on Saturday. There are some other people still alive. Tyler has Duke. Chris has UNC. So it looks like those are... Well, I guess I don't know their finals matchups, but yeah, we still have a number of people still alive to win the pool. And if you win it, you get a $100 gift card to Paramount Plus and a spot in the podcast league. And I just want to say, in the cousins pool that I am running with my cousins and a couple friends, one person in the pool who may or may not be related to me has 35 points, has a maximum point of 35. And I've never seen anyone do that poorly in a March Madness pool while trying to do well. This is the worst performance I've ever seen to my brother, Dave. You have done just a horrible job and disgraced my last
name. I mean, did he pick the Jets to win the Final Four?
He picked Gonzaga.
A lot of people did that.
Yeah. He went with...
Adam, give me a second. I'm going to pull up something that you need to see right now.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Let's see. He had Gonzaga, Kentucky, Arizona, and Iowa. So he lost 2 Final Four teams on the first day. Yeah. Schrager, you got 34 points. Oh, you did worse than my brother. Are you kidding?
I entered this bracket everywhere. My perfect bracket.
I just looked. So my kids did brackets for the first time, the 2 older ones. And my older son is 9. He's in 56th place in our podcast one. He's got 69 points right now.
Wow.
I have 43.
43 is not bad, but not good, but 34 from Schrager is worse. You lost your champion on the first day, Kentucky. Way to go.
Ronan has double Schrager's score.
Hey, by the way.
And Dave, both kids, independently of themselves, picked Duke to win it.
That's good. They went for the sentimentality with Coach K. So anyway, the madness continues. Don't miss a moment of the action on CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV, and download the March Madness Live app to watch every game anywhere, anytime, live. March Madness Live app. We're doing a mailbag on Thursday, so leave us a review on Apple and include your question, and we will answer it live on the show. That's the best way to get your question read. You can send an email to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, but if you leave a five-star review, that'd be awesome. Dave, by the way, I believe you are going to retire as you have made a big sale in your life, some extra income. What did you sell on the internet?
I've been putting some cards that I don't want anymore on eBay, and I had a 2013 Leaf Rookies and Stars, number 2 of 10 of Jacquizz Rodgers, and I put it on eBay. Guess how much I got for it? 10 of them made in the world, but it's of Jacquizz Rodgers.
I'm going to guess 82 cents.
Jamie?
$1.50.
Anybody else?
Less than a dollar.
Well, okay. 1 cent. I sold them an item on eBay for 1 cent plus 75 cents to ship it to them by throwing it in an envelope and putting a stamp on the envelope.
That rocks.
I took my kids to a card store this weekend.
I saw you did that. Good for you.
And so there was like a bunch of like football cards that were 50 cents. So I bought a bunch of 50 cent cards of like Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey, and just so they have them. It was fun.
That's cool. Be cool to have.
Now, I will break off this sale and sell you the Jacquizz for 50 cents if you want to really splurge on the kiddos.
You know, I know your son's about to start college, so if you need some help for the college fund, I'll give you 50 cents for Jacquizz Rodgers.
That rocks. All right, let's get into our mock draft. 12 teams, full PPR, one QB.
I wish I had 140,000 Jacquizz Rodgers cards to sell you.
One QB, two running backs, three receivers, a tight end, and a flex. Again, three receivers and a flex and full PPR.
I'm so broke.
So the wide receiver pool, I don't know. By the time, let's see, who went in round six? Darnell Mooney, Marquise Brown, Cortland Sutton. I guess that's not so bad. Round seven wide receivers, Renfro, Thielen, Kirk, Gabriel Davis, Juju, Gallup. That's not so bad. All right, there's some depth.
Your whole point just got thrown out the window.
It didn't feel as good. Well, if you wait too long to get your third receiver, you might be in trouble.
Take it to round eight.
Round eight, Robert Woods, Cordarrelle Patterson, Rashad Bateman, Rondale Moore. Yeah, there it is. Round
Jarvis
eight.
Jarvis Landry went in round eight.
Not so good. Kadarius
Russell
Tony.
Russell Gage, Kadarius Tony, last pick.
So, Jamie, you wrote the write-up of this. Was there a major takeaway?
Really what I did was I kind of just went through and noted where most of the free agent or transactions and the players were taken. You know, like you said, it was before the Tyreek Hill trade. So I just hate when that happens. Like, you know, we do a lot of these in the preseason, and there's an injury that occurs, you know, so we'll do a draft on a Tuesday. I'll write the story on Wednesday. My Wednesday afternoon, somebody got hurt. So it's like, bleep, what can we do this draft again? So it was really just, you know, you mentioned, you know, where Dave took Deshaun Watson. It was stuff like that, you know, just taking a look at those type of things. Like, I thought Robert Woods went a little too soon. Just, you know, one of the names that you mentioned. And it was sort of like some of the fallout, like Edmonds versus Mostert, you know, comparing those two. Those two transactions, you know, James Conner, Leonard Fournette, they both went in round three, you know, taking a look at that, you know, and just kind of assessing, you know, the value to some of those moves. The quarterbacks kind of where they were. I hate our drafts for quarterbacks because it's never really a representation of what people do. So you kind of have to put it in context of not necessarily when the quarterbacks come off the board, but the order that they come off the board. So it's kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, we can start with Fournette and Connor. Fournette went 26th overall, one pick after Jalen Waddle, which, of course, doesn't make a ton of sense right now, but it did at the time. And then James Connor went five picks later. So they were round three picks. In between them, if we just look at running backs, Aaron Jones went. So it went Fournette, Aaron Jones, James Connor, and then Montgomery, and then Cam Akers. Those were the five running backs of round three. Fournette, Jones, Connor, Montgomery, Akers. Dave, you think that order works? What do you think?
I think it's close to working. Maybe Fournette should be shuffled to the bottom of that order. I like Jones a little bit more now, given the way the Packers offense is structured and given how he may end up seeing a bump in targets just because they don't have a lot going on at wide receiver, which seems weird because you've got Aaron Rodgers there. Why wouldn't they just lean on him and try and help him or have him try and help other receivers become better than what they are? Quarterbacks make the receivers, especially when they're as good as Rodgers. But I still see Jones having an uphill battle to get a ton of touches, but I still think he's the best guy there. And I think that they'll probably lean on both running backs a little bit more. So we're at the point in the draft where you're looking at either running backs that are workhorse guys on bad teams, that's David Montgomery, or guys who are good running backs on good teams that might be around 15 touches per game. I feel like that's Jones.
It was an interesting group. You know, you could take an even into round four of, or the end of round three with Akers going to the end of round three and then into Josh Jacobs. I was surprised Jacobs made it out of round three. You know, given what he showed last year and what maybe he might be with Josh McDaniels and what could be an upgrade in this offense with the addition of Davante Adams. So it really was one of those things where I think it's just a matter of what you, you know, were looking at. Like, I had a little buyer's remorse of taking Antonio Gibson at the end of round two and passing on Deebo Samuel. That's something I won't do again. Because the guys that were there in round three, where I took Evans, of Jones, of Connor, of Montgomery, Jacobs, Akers, you know, I like that pairing a little bit more. I was curious just to see. I did it purposely. I was curious to see which receivers would come back in round three by going running back, running back. And after doing it, I wasn't thrilled. Now, obviously, if Chris Godwin's 100%, Godwin would have been an easy choice, but I don't think he's there either if we get to that point.
So you're saying you would rather have Deebo Samuel and James
Aaron Jones would have been my selection.
Okay, Deebo Samuel and Aaron Jones versus Antonio Gibson and Mike Evans.
Yep. But like I said, I did that consciously, just to see how it would look. Gibson was the last running back that I liked at that point. And then it was, okay, let's see which receivers are available.
I think it doesn't really make sense to start in round three. I wanted to talk about those two running backs, but I jumped out of order. So why don't we start at the top?
Sure.
And Jonathan Taylor, again, three receiver PPR league, but we still had a ton of running backs in the first round. I think there were eight or nine. And let's see, the non-running backs were Kupp, Jefferson, and Tyreek Hill. So there were nine running backs in round one. The first round looks like this. Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, and Cooper Kupp was five. Alvin Kamara was six. Taylor, Eckler, McCaffrey, Henry, Kupp, Kamara. It's your first six. Najee Harris, DeAndre Swift are seven.
Stop there for a second. If Kamara has a four-game suspension, who would you have taken?
Oh, not him. In fact, I was going to say I think I have remorse there. I don't think I should have taken Kamara. I'm a little concerned about him, and maybe we should talk about this. But, yeah, they do have Mark Ingram. When you just look at the games where Mark Ingram was there, the playing time was down significantly for Kamara. The touches weren't as consistent, and he's not on a top-five offense anymore. So he could get away with that when he was splitting, when Drew Brees was the quarterback. But I don't know. When I was thinking about it today, that was my pick. I took Kamara sixth overall. Five to me is like a sweet spot to get one of those top four running backs or Kupp. I don't think I would do that again. I think I'd probably take a wide receiver there. What do you guys think? You think Kamara deserves to be a top six pick?
He's still in the conversation. You know, I think there's still a lot to like, you know, and again, Dennis Allen and Carmichael, you know, they may decide that they're going to lean on Kamara more, you know, and get the most out of him before he's washed up and maybe done in a year. They may lean on him less, like you said, you know, with Mark Ingram there, they might want to keep him fresh because they still envision themselves as a playoff team. Jameis, with a new voice in his ear, essentially, may have some different options in leaning on him. Michael Thomas being back, scoring chances may be up, you know, so there's still some positives, but there's also some negatives. But I think he's in the same range of these guys, of Najee and Dalvin Cook. I would take them both over DeAndre Swift still, or those guys over DeAndre Swift, but you know, you can make a strong argument that Mixon should be right there too, with the offensive line upgrades that the Bengals have and the way that he played last year too. So they're all kind of in a jumbled, you know, group, still all worthy of first round consideration, but I could see why you took him. I could also see if you would have gone a different route too.
I would have taken Najee. The younger, yeah, and Cook too. You said Cook, and I agree with both, but Najee's younger. I know that the Steelers offense isn't going to be a top five offense either, but he should be a workhorse back there. The offensive line's already gotten better this offseason. Maybe they'll draft somebody else to make it even better. They'll probably draft a rookie quarterback as well to compete with Trubisky for the starting job. And the passing offense shouldn't be any worse than it was last year. I don't know how many 13 target games or however many targets he had. I think it was like week two, week three. He had like a ton of targets. I don't think I'll have many of that, but I bet he gets a bunch of 4 and 5 target games and they manufacture work for him and, you know, shot at getting well over 50 receptions again and helpful for fantasy purposes.
It's not that the Steelers' offense isn't going to be that good. It's that it might be awful. Where out of 32 teams, where do you think, just ballpark, the Steelers are right now offensively?
With a bottom third. I was going to say like right at the top of the bottom third, but I'm not sure if I can name 10 offenses that are worse.
Yeah, because I think they could be one of the 5 worst offenses in football. And that would probably hurt Najee Harris quite a bit.
I would think they could be better than what they were last year.
I don't see that, but they could be. Obviously, I mean, if Mason Rudolph, it's not Mason Rudolph.
It could be Mason Rudolph. I don't think they really want to be Mason Rudolph.
It's Trubisky, right. Yeah. I don't know. I think they were 20th in scoring last year, so I think they'll be a little worse, but he was a top 5 running back.
I would put them about the same.
Okay. All right, let's go past that then. Let's go to after. I'll just take a look at what Shagger, go back up to the top of round 1. After Kamara, it's Najee Harris, DeAndre Swift, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, Tyreek Hill before the trade, and Joe Mixon. And then round 2.
That's such an obvious omission. It's terrible.
Yeah, Jamar Chase.
Mm-hmm. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Well, who should he have gone ahead of?
Well, I mean, factoring even Tyreek Hill, you know, I would have taken him over Hill to begin with before the trade. So, but he should be in the first round. He certainly should be ahead of DeAndre Swift.
So 9 running backs in the first round. I believe there were only 3 in the second round. So this was a very wide receiver, tight end heavy round in round 2. Nick Chubb, interesting pick at 12 overall, 13 overall, I guess. But to start, Marone started his team, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb. Don't think a lot of people are going to go that route in a 3 receiver PPR league, guys. What do you think?
Well, that's the route you go if you want to lock up running back early and you just hope that wide receiver kind of falls to you. I'm curious to see how his team ends up after starting running back. I've done that countless times, and sometimes the receivers are great and sometimes the receivers are terrible. I think there's definitely a stigma about Nick Chubb in PPR leagues because he doesn't get a lot of targets, and that'll continue to be the case with Deshaun Watson under center. He doesn't target his running backs very much, but he's still been 15 plus PPR points per game each of the last 2 years with limited targets. And it's because he scores a lot of touchdowns and eats up a lot of yardage. The question I've got is if Deshaun isn't suspended at all, how much does that really change their approach week to week? Because they were very run heavy without Deshaun there. And now that Deshaun's there, they're not going to, they're not paying him $230 million to just hand off to Nick Chubb every single week. So I'm a little bit worried about Chubb breaking through and being 18 to 20 PPR points per game. I don't think that's happening. I think if you're drafting him, you need to assume that like part of the best case scenario is right around 16 PPR points per week. And there's other players that are at 13th overall that I think can be better than that.
I guess the one thing that we could see is the beginning part of the season, if there's a suspension, like you said, Dave, there could be a lot of Nick Chubb. The other part of it is I don't think, they're going to bring in Deshaun Watson to make him Baker Mayfield plus. I think they're going to obviously allow him to be who he is. But at the same time, he's never played in Kevin Stefanski's offense in this system. And it might be more of a byproduct of, okay, this is what we do. We're going to incorporate what you do, but you got to do what we do a little bit too. And so it could still be a lot more of the run game, run-centric, involving your running backs, not just necessarily him, but obviously Kareem Hunt too. So we could see Deshaun's game altering a little bit as well. So, you know, I don't think it's a horrible pick there, but that's another guy that should not have gone ahead of Jamar Chase.
I'm going to tell you how his team turned out. I'm going to compare 2 teams. I'm going to compare Marone's team and Jacob Gibbs' team. Because Jacob went wide receiver, and Marone went running back.
Went 3 receivers in a row.
Oh, did he? Okay. So, 3, I just want to tell you real quick for Nick Chubb, where he's finished per game in full PPR the last 3 seasons. At RB, 10th, 8th, and 12th. He's been 8 to 12 per game in PPR each of the last 3 seasons. Now, here's Marone's team. I think he, did pretty well. He's got Kyler Murray at quarterback, who he took in round 7. He's got Mixon and Chubb. And then he's got really interesting receivers, Hopkins, Metcalf, and Devontae Smith, and TJ Hawkinson. It's not bad. I mean, his flex, I don't know who it's going to be. I mean, it's Tony Pollard, which could be one of the best picks. You know, there's an easy path to that being the best pick of the draft, one of the best picks. If he's back, you know, if he's...
Yep. You know, I remember him taking Pollard. I wanted Pollard.
Carson, Ayuk, so whatever. Forget about his flex. We'll figure that out. But I think he did a decent job getting Hopkins and Metcalf and Devontae Smith to go along with Mixon and Chubb. Plus, Kyler Murray is a plus at quarterback, and TJ Hawkinson's a top eight tight end. So I'd give this team, I give it an A-. Fellas?
It's just questions on Metcalf.
Yeah, all the receivers.
Does Metcalf and Smith, are they serviceable two and three at receiver? I mean, Metcalf's obviously such a wild card right now.
All right, let's take a look at Jacob's team.
Jacob, I love his first four picks.
Jacob went Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne. That's a pretty solid starting five. Jefferson, A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Darnell Mooney, Dallas Goedert. And who's after that, Ben? You can scroll down. Cordarrelle Patterson, Trey Lance. All right, so quarterback's an issue here, potentially.
Maybe.
Potentially, right. Trey Lance, Madison, Antonio Brown, Khalil Herbert. Which team do you like better?
Jacobs.
I think I'll go with Marrone.
Yeah, I think Marrone too. All right, let's go to round two of this draft. So after Chubb, Javonte Williams, Jamar Chase, A.J. Brown, Davante Adams, receiver run. And then do you anticipate it taking this long for the tight ends to come off the board? Sixth pick of round two, Travis Kelce. Three picks later, Mark Andrews. That feel late to you, Jamie?
Pre-Tyreek Hill, no. Post-Tyreek Hill trade, yes. I think Travis Kelce will creep up closer to the first round. So Mark Andrews is so interesting because, you know, numbers with Lamar Jackson, without Lamar Jackson, you know, when people actually dive into it, you're going to find out that he was still very good. Still should be the number two tight end off the board, just not as productive as he was when it was the backups in there. So is there more Rashad Bateman? Is there still as much Marquise Brown? Is there a better run game because it was such a disaster last season by comparison with the injuries? How much is Mark Andrews going to benefit or maybe lose as a result of those things? So I think he's in an appropriate spot in round two, but he still should be a round two selection if you want one of the top tier tight ends because he is the second guy there. But Kelce, I think, fell a little bit too far if you're factoring in Tyreek Hill no longer on the Chiefs, which we did not in this draft.
Yeah.
I think that the offseason hasn't been kind to tight ends. Kittle, probably going to have Trey Lance as a quarterback. We'll see. Maybe that's not so bad. That's something we kind of expected all along. Does that mean that he's going to be better than last year? I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out, having Trey Lance as his quarterback, because he's just such a different type of quarterback than what they've had previously with Kyle Shanahan there. Waller just saw Davante Adams get added. That's not going to be good for his target volume. And the other tight end in that group of three, four, five, I think it's kind of bad for Andrews too. But Pitts now has Mariota. I think that caps his upside. And Andrews, you talked about it, Jamie. I want to go talk to John Harbaugh at the owners' meetings and ask him if he was happy that the Ravens were 10th in pass rate last year. Totally different for them. Are they going to stick to that, or are they going to go back to where they were in years prior? And I'm sure I'm going to get a line about game flow and how he can't really say at this point because he doesn't give answers for anything, but I'll try anyway. I think it hurts Mark Andrews with Lamar Jackson coming back and with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards coming back. The Ravens are going to be able to run the ball a lot better than they did last year, having a healthier, younger running attack. And that's going to take targets away from Andrews. That being said, he's still the second best tight end. If you want to have an edge over your competition in fantasy, I think he's the guy to get after Travis Kelce. I just don't know if I'm ready to pawn up a late second round pick to do it with him.
I just want to make a point because I know I'll forget, and this is off subject a little bit. We'll get back to round two. If you are Jacob Gibbs and you load it up at wide receiver and you got this solid team, but Trey Lance is your quarterback, I do feel like you have to take a second quarterback, and he could have still taken Jalen Hurts. He could have taken Matthew Stafford. I'm fine with you taking Trey Lance, but I really feel like there's no reason not to. We're talking double-digit rounds at that point.
Well, let's see. What are the quarterbacks available on waivers right now?
I got Stafford at 145th in the draft. I'm not sure where what was around like that area, round 12, round 11 for Jacob, I should say.
Yeah, he took Khalil Herbert. He didn't make bad picks or anything, but I just feel like Trey Lance probably should not be your only quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it's hard to say with a mock draft and what your, you know, approach would be. Are you taking more chances on, oh, I really love this receiver, I really love this running back, and I want to just see what it looks like, how it fits in the puzzle. The quarterbacks that did not get drafted, again, we did this draft before the trade, so Tua would probably be the most exciting one. Tannehill, Matt Ryan, I mean, it's not great.
Yeah.
Goff.
He could have had Hurts or Stafford, and instead he took Antonio Brown.
Jameis Winston. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, again, if he's probably building his team a little bit differently, maybe that's the spot that he, you know, takes a different player, takes quarterback there. So it's also, look, there's going to be a guy or two that doesn't get drafted in a lot of leagues that's going to emerge. You know, Jameis could be that guy. Tua could be that guy. Trevor Lawrence, if he doesn't get drafted, you know, who knows?
All right, finishing off round two, after Kelce, it was Stephon Diggs, who was, what, the sixth or seventh wide receiver off the board? Three, four, five. I think it was the seventh. No, he was the sixth. Then CeeDee Lamb, he was the seventh. Mark Andrews, Antonio Gibson, Deebo Samuel, and Keenan Allen. All right, round three. We've already talked about the running backs in this round. Here's the round three wide receivers. Dave took Jalen Waddle. He would not do that now. Dave, where would you take Jalen Waddle now?
He'd be a little bit lower. He might be around four pick now. This pick would have probably been, I'm looking to see who's available. Mike Evans would probably have been the pick for me there at the top of round three.
So Waddle, Fournette, Evans, Chris Godwin, Aaron Jones, Amari Cooper, James Conner, David Montgomery, T. Higgins, Terry McLaurin, Cam Akers, DeAndre Hopkins. I felt, Jamie, I said this on FFT and 5, that with my pick of Amari Cooper in round six, around third pick of, sixth pick of round three, I'm sorry, I really didn't like it. I was just praying that Godwin or Aaron Jones would make it to me. They went with the two picks right before my pick, and I felt right there like I had reached a point where I just didn't love the options anymore. Not to say they're bad, but I love Godwin. I love Aaron Jones there. I don't love my pick of Amari Cooper. I think I should have taken Cam Akers. I would have liked that a lot more. But at what point do you see the talent fall off where we're no longer looking at studs and it gets a little more questionable? I feel like every year at some point in round three, where do you think it is?
I mean, we're starting to get to that point at receiver. I would have taken T. Higgins over Cooper. But, you know, look, if there is a four-game suspension for Watson, a two-game suspension for Watson, Amari Cooper around three might end up being a steal, you know, with just how we've seen Deshaun with his number one guy. I mean, Hopkins was amazing. Will Fuller, the year he was amazing, you know, so Cooper certainly fits that profile. And, you know, depending on what side of the, you know, Browns ledger you're on of are they going to run, are they going to throw more? You know, if they're going to throw more, then he's going to be the one that benefits the most. So it's not a bad pick there if you're gambling on, you know, whatever amount of games Deshaun Watson misses. But clearly, if it's a six-game suspension or more, then Cooper's not going around three. He's probably going closer to round five.
Do you think there's a point where
round four.
Do you think there's a point where we drop off to from studs to question marks?
Here, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, but you still have a lot of really, really good high upside guys in this round. Round three is pretty good. How about round four? We'll tell you about it after we take a quick break on Fantasy Football Today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that He was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.
We're back to talk about the tight end round. Three tight ends come off the board within six picks in round four. But the first pick of round four is DK Metcalf, who went to Marone, like we talked about his team, Mixon, Chubb in rounds one and two, Hopkins, Metcalf in rounds three and four. Kyle Pitts, George Kittle, then Josh Jacobs, then Michael Thomas, and then Saquon Barkley, then Darren Waller. But the first six picks of round four are Metcalf, Pitts, Kittle, Josh Jacobs, Michael Thomas, and Saquon Barkley. Jamie, is there a pick that stands out in a good or bad way there?
I like Michael Thomas a lot there. You know, I think if he's right, this is a steal, you know. So you got to hope that he's back at 100%. You got to hope that he's on the same page with Jameis. But I like him better than Metcalf right now, you know, just based on the quarterback situation that both are looking at. So, you know, that pick stands out. I mentioned the Josh Jacobs one. I thought he should go in round three, you know, amongst those other running backs. And then Barkley's such a wild card, man. If he's anything close to what he can be, you know, there you're gonna love a lot of people that end up with Saquon Barkley in round three or later. You know, I'm gonna guess round four is probably gonna end up being a spot where he goes unless it's really running back heavy draft. But, you know, healthy, better offense just based on system, he could be awesome.
Would you guys rather have Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins?
Still Hopkins.
Hopkins for me.
Dave, let's go to the last six picks of round four. Darren Waller, Deontay Johnson, J.K. Dobbins, D.J. Moore, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Brandon Cooks, which was your pick. So it's Waller, Deontay, Dobbins, D.J. Moore, Amon-Ra, and Brandon Cooks. Anything stand out there?
I think St. Brown got taken way too soon. I don't see him being worth a top 50 pick. I just don't think he can recreate that role that we saw at the end of last year when Swift was out for a bunch of those games, Hockenson was out for those games, and they've added Chark. They're going to add other wide receivers. I think that target volume is going to go down to maybe 7.5 targets per game, which is still good. I just don't think it's top 50 good. So St. Brown wouldn't be the pick there. Johnson is my favorite. Deontay, because I still think he's still going to get a lot of targets and a lot of looks. I know it's Mitchell Trubisky. Well, last year he had Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger was terrible. And that offensive line will be a little bit better. And if Trubisky comes through on the one thing that he told Sirius XM NFL radio about, which is he's doing a better job of making reads. That's what he learned to do, was progress through his reads a lot faster in Buffalo. If he brings that to Pittsburgh, he'll at least be a little bit more efficient, won't turn the ball over as much, and maybe he'll be a little less scared with the football. Maybe that'll lead to him throwing a little bit more in the intermediate areas. That would help Deontay Johnson as well. To me, it's a volume play with Johnson. You're hoping that he gets around 8 or 9 targets per game and carries that through 17 games.
Okay, guys, Deontay Johnson or Michael Thomas?
I currently have Johnson higher.
Johnson.
Okay, so then Johnson or Hopkins?
I got Johnson one spot ahead of Hopkins in PPR.
Same. I want to hear something about Hopkins' health. And, you know, I know everything seems to be heading in the right direction with Kyler Murray, but I still think he's got the leverage point of wanting to hold out. And it wouldn't surprise me if that happens once we get to training camp.
That would be brutal. The other thing that I'm wondering about is who else is playing wide receiver for Arizona this year?
Mm-hmm. Not many people right now.
The team that went from having too many wide receivers now suddenly it feels like they don't have enough.
Let's go to round five. We'll do one more round, then we'll recap our teams. Dave takes Elijah Mitchell, then Michael Carter.
That was a tough pick for me. That was a really tough one.
Yeah, why?
Because all the quarterbacks were still there. So I could have been the first guy to take the quarterback off the board, and it would have been the first pick in round five. And I think that just screams great value, but I would have been hurting at running back. This is my RB2. This is me trying to not take too many running backs early on. And there are a lot of red flags about Elijah Mitchell, man, that make me nervous about him coming through in his second season. But I took him anyway just because I wanted to have something there at RB2, knowing that I could get a quarterback later on anyway, which I did. Got two of them.
If you had taken a quarterback there.
Josh Allen.
then you could have just done what you did in round 6 and 7, taking Miles Sanders and AJ Dillon.
You would have taken Mahomes, though, because you had Mahomes one prior to the trade, right?
Did I? Oh, yeah. Okay. Then I would have taken Mahomes first.
Oh, we would have laughed at you. That. 3 days later, we would have said, ah. But no, you still took two running backs with your next two picks in the end of round 6 and beginning of round 7.
Sure, and that part of that was just a reaction to taking Mitchell and just trying to have enough running backs to find a good RB2. Theoretically, over the course of the season, I'd be able to pick from Mitchell, Sanders, and then one other guy. I don't remember.
AJ Dillon.
There it is. So between those three, one of them would be my RB2 from week to week. And at that point in the draft, I think I already had three receivers. I kind of like that. I kind of like going when I've got the early pick. I took Jonathan Taylor first overall. Obviously, that's a stud. Three receivers right after that, and then starting to collect those running backs kind of in that dead zone. That part I don't like a lot either, but it's toward the end of the dead zone. It's not terrible value. It shouldn't kill my team.
And your tight end is Zach Ertz. Not terrible. So you didn't completely punt there. Okay. So back to round 5, and the quarterbacks, two of them will come off the board. Elijah Mitchell, Michael Carter, Josh Allen to Jamie. He pulled the trigger. He took the first quarterback. 13 seconds later, he took the second quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Jerry Jeudy. So if you're wondering, where do those Broncos guys go? Jerry Jeudy went in round 5, and Cortland Sutton went in round 6. What's better value?
Sutton.
I was going to take Jeudy, but I was like, you know what? The quarterbacks have stayed on the board too long, and I wanted to see how that played out. But Jeudy was the one I was eyeing.
Ezekiel Elliott went after Jerry Jeudy, then Michael Pittman, Allen Robinson, Travis Etienne, Elijah Moore, Tyler Lockett, and Devontae Smith.
Again, those first three receivers that you mentioned, Pittman, Robinson, and Moore, feels like such good value if they all hit.
If they all hit, yeah, but how optimistic are you? Okay, this was before? No, this was after the Matt Ryan trade. So, okay, yeah, so mid to late round 5, top 60 picks, Michael Pittman, Allen Robinson, Elijah Moore, and then Tyler Lockett and Devontae Smith. You're saying those first three stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly you can see the upside. You know, the downside, you know, you've seen it with Robinson already. You know, is he done, or is it just a byproduct of how messy things were in Chicago at the end? Elijah Moore, can he stay healthy? When he was healthy, he was, you know, pretty fantastic last season. Most of it, although it wasn't, was Zach Wilson. So that's what you have to factor in there. And then with Pittman, you know, can he, you know, be the guy for Matt Ryan? Can he get over the touchdown, the lack of touchdown potential that might be coming his way? But who else is he going to be sharing the field with? But, I mean, you know, you could say quarterback upgrade for the first two guys. And Elijah Moore seems to be somebody that's a breakout candidate if he stays on the field for 17 games.
All right, Dave, any final thoughts on this round? A lot of wide receivers here.
I thought Allen Robinson went too early.
How come?
Just because I don't know if he can be explosive. He's going to need target volume, and I don't know how much of it's going to be there from game to game if Cooper Kupp is still Cooper Kupp.
He's never really been explosive except for that first breakout year. It's just not him. And
no, he's needed tons and tons of targets.
I think you're hoping for touchdowns, right?
But it's also been tons of targets from crappy quarterbacks. So hopefully, you know, if it's less targets, it's better targets and a better offense.
Yeah.
Does that make him a much more efficient wide receiver? Does that?
I don't mind the gamble in round 5. You know, the guys that he went ahead of, Elijah Moore, okay, I would take more over him, but I would see, you know, you're gambling there. Darnell Mooney, Marquise Brown, Cortland Sutton, to me, they're all very similar. You know, you can see the upside, see the downside. You know, Mooney now the target hog, hopefully, in Chicago. Marquise Brown was very good, if not great, last year when Lamar Jackson was on the field. And we, you know, have to be excited about Cortland Sutton. So, you know, they're all kind of similar, you know. So if you have, you know, inkling that this is going to be Allen Robinson bouncing back because he's going through the Rams car wash, similar to what happened to Robert Woods when he was, you know, coming off a bad Buffalo situation, to OBJ coming off a bad Brown situation. You know, I mean, there's evidence there that guys can come in, you know, Robinson a little bit on the older side by comparison, but, you know, he can come in and hopefully, if there is nobody like Beckham coming back, or even Beckham comes back and he's not ready to go at the start of the season, you know, if he's competing with Van Jefferson for that second wide receiver spot, I like Allen Robinson in round 5.
Beckham wasn't really that good, though. Beckham averaged 38 yards per game with the Rams.
He came in with no training camp. He came in with nothing, you know, off the street.
He didn't do well. You know, like
but he scored. They trusted him in big spots. He started getting better as the season went on. I mean, the Super Bowl, the first half was he was on his way to a huge game.
He had three targets, yes, he had two catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown. He definitely scored, and I think that's what you're hoping for with Robinson. You're hoping that he's second on the team in touchdowns.
But it's going to be a full off season of Stafford, a full off season of McVay, a full off season to get himself acclimated. I would say he's better situation than Beckham. Whether he's better than Beckham, I don't know, but better situation than Beckham.
He's also bounced back before Allen Robinson has. He tore his ACL in 2017, played one snap, basically, one catch. Then he had a bad year in 2018, but bounced back very nicely the following 2 years. I bet people thought he was probably done after that 2018 season, 754 yards in 13 games. And then after that, he had two strong years in a row. All right, let's talk about our teams now. We will recap. And Dave, you had the first pick. So how did it turn out?
I like my team. Jonathan Taylor at running back, first overall. My receivers, Keenan Allen, Jalen Waddle, Brandon Cooks. I would scratch out Waddle and put in Mike Evans there now if I could go back in a time machine. I don't have Waddle as the 25th best player in PPR now that Tyreek Hill's there. Mitchell at running back along with Sanders and Dillon. We talked about that. Hopefully between those three guys, I've got an RB2. Maybe have a flex along with it. And then second half of my draft, just really tried to target upside and value. Kadarius Toney, Deshaun Watson at 97th overall. And if I'm without him for half the season, I've got Stafford at 145th overall. Zach Ertz at 120th overall. If the Arizona Cardinals don't add anybody, that's good for Zach Ertz because then his target volume will be there. Valdez-Scantling, Pat Freiermuth, KJ Hamler. Three guys that I'm just throwing darts at in the double-digit rounds. They all came in round 11 or later.
MVS was one of them. This was obviously before the signing. It was before the Tyreek Hill trade. But
yeah, I kind of drafted him thinking he'd be back in Green Bay.
I'm just curious, since it won't come up, Mecole Hardman, he went in round 14. Oh, but again, this was,
pre-Tyreek. Yeah. Yep.
All right, recapping Dave's team one more time. Deshaun Watson at quarterback, Jonathan Taylor and Elijah Mitchell at running back, Keenan Allen, Jalen Waddle, and Brandon Cooks. That would now be Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, and Brandon Cooks. Zach Ertz at tight end, and right now the flex is Miles Sanders. Could be A.J. Dillon. Could be Kadarius Toney. Something like that. Okay, Jamie, you had, the third pick?
Yep.
How'd your team turn out, Jamie?
It's okay. There were some things, like I said, I would have done differently if I was actually drafting this for real. I was just trying a few different things. I like to do that in these early mock drafts. So Josh Allen, quarterback. McCaffrey and Antonio Gibson at running back, Mike Evans, DJ Moore, Adam Thielen at receiver, Dalton Schultz at tight end, Raheem Mostert would be the flex right now on the bench. The two running backs I have are Kenneth Gainwell and Jared Patterson, Odell Beckham, Chase Claypool, Nico Collins, and Corey Davis at receiver.
All right, so again, he has Josh Allen, Christian McCaffrey, and Antonio Gibson. And let me just ask you guys, how are you feeling about Antonio Gibson?
I like him in the back end of round two. Like I said, I wouldn't have taken him over Deebo Samuel if I was actually doing this because I wanted to see how it worked out. But he's in that group of guys of Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, James Conner, Josh Jacobs. You know, I think he's at the front of it still. This should be still a good offense in terms of how they run the ball. I think they're still the catalyst of this offense with Carson Wentz. The nice thing is Wentz has shown you, at least from last year, that he can, you know, command a good run game. I don't think Antonio Gibson's Jonathan Taylor, but I don't think he's going to be a slouch. And so the fact that McKissick is back isn't the best situation for him. It would have been better if McKissick was gone. But I still think you look at Antonio Gibson as a back-end RB1, high-end RB2.
All right, so Josh Allen, McCaffrey, and Gibson for Jamie. Mike Evans, DJ Moore, Adam Thielen, Dalton Schultz at tight end, Raheem Mostert at flex. And I had the sixth pick. And I started with Alvin Kamara, and then I went with at least two wide receivers. Maybe three. No, I took Darren Waller. That's right. So Russell Wilson is my quarterback. Alvin Kamara and Ezekiel Elliott, who I got in round 5. So I went running back, receiver, receiver, tight end, running back. Wilson, Kamara, and Zeke. Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs. Gabriel Davis is my wide receiver 3. Devin Singletary is my flex.
You love the Bills.
I do. I'm okay with that. Darren Waller is my tight end. I also have Jalen Hurts to back up Russell Wilson. I have James White, potentially, you know what he is. Could be a low-end RB2.
It was a good game. I think he took him around 10. That was a good pick.
Kenny Golladay, Jacoby Myers, Amari Rodgers, and Curtis Samuel. Maybe Curtis Samuel can bounce back after taking a year off, essentially. I'm okay with this team. I think really it might hinge on Amari Cooper. If he has the type of year that a number one receiver, Jamie was talking about this earlier, number one receiver with Deshaun Watson has, it's going to be a solid team to go along with Stephon Diggs. I think Diggs is going to be better this year. I don't think his target share is going down. Unless they get committed to the run, I don't think that's going to happen. And we saw a rumor they might take Breece Hall or something like that. But
right, something like that would absolutely raise some eyebrows.
I think he'll do better with the targets this year than he did last year.
Yeah, the thing I think you fear is I don't like Breece Hall to me doesn't really make me scared of Stephon Diggs because then you have the threat of a run game. So maybe, you know, he gets a little bit more single coverage. But I think it's do they sign a Jarvis Landry? You know, there was some talk about him maybe going there. Do they draft a receiver, you know, that could, you know, be somebody that takes away some target opportunities? Do they get into more, you know, two tight end sets because of O.J. Howard being there and what Dawson Knox did? Does that take away some touchdown opportunities? You know, so those type of things worry me more about Stephon Diggs than a better run game.
They picked Jamison Crowder over Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the end of what they're doing, though.
Be weird if they added Landry on top of Crowder.
So well, I mean, Landry,
that would be bad for Diggs, obviously.
Landry reportedly wanted $20 million. So he opted out of a $16 million, or wanted out of a $16
million. He's not getting that.
He's not getting that. So, you know, if he's looking at it, okay, where do I get best chance? You know, if he goes Buffalo cheap, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
All right, so where do you guys have Diggs?
Top five, PPR.
Yeah, right around there. Fifth.
Is he who's fourth?
Adams for me.
Okay. Me too.
Okay. Well, that is going to do it for today's show. Remember, we've got another episode coming Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and then a mailbag Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Best way to get on that mailbag is to leave us a 5-star Apple Podcast review with a question and a comment would be nice. Tell people why you like our show. We're always trying to grow our audience. Thanks to everybody who hung out with us on this Sunday night. We do appreciate it. Have a great night. Have a great Monday, and we will talk to you all on Tuesday on Fantasy Football Today.
CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.